Hey, welcome to the Cornerstone Church Podcast, one of the many places that we love to declare Jesus.
We see you in your life living a life of resilient faith for all of your days, and we believe that listening to this message is going to be part of strengthening your faith journey.
Enjoy the message.
I've got a message that's like 6 hours worth of content, but I'm trying to preach it in like 40 minutes. I'm going to try and preach it in 50 minutes. I'm going to try and preach this message in under an hour today because we got Growth Track after service, and I'm looking forward to connecting with some people there. This past week, I was with a team as we went to Atlanta filled with next generation leaders. We were at a conference with thousands and thousands of people that were there to serve the next generation of leaders. We were there to learn together and to worship together and to experience what God is doing in our next generation of leaders. And so I was there with several of our team that are serving on a faithful basis week in and week out to make sure that our children and our youth are being raised to being the people that God has for them to be. And I was so encouraged, y'all. I was so encouraged. I believe that the future is bright. I believe that great days are ahead of us. I believe that the emerging generation has something special in store for them. And I was so impacted. I was so encouraged. I was reminded several times as I would see phenomenal leaders on the platform about how great the future is. When I thought, man, that person is incredible. That person speaks with such conviction. That person has such leadership on the inside of them. And someone would say to me, do you know how old that person is? Well, I don't know how old that person. They're like, do you know when that person was born? I was like, I don't know when that person was born. They said that person was born in 2004. I was like, 2004, 2000 and nothing. What do you mean that person was born in 2000? After the year 2000? Are you kidding me? I was born in the 1900s, y'all. And there are emerging leaders that are stepping up into their place that are born in the 2000s, and it's awesome, and I'm here for it. And I was so encouraged by what came out of that conference. I was encouraged, and I was tired at the end of the conference. My back hurt at the end of the conference, being surrounded by so many young people. I learned all kinds of words and all kinds of phrases during that conference, being surrounded by young people, and it was such a good time. I was encouraged about it, but it made me think about many of the transitions that I have gone through in my own life. I'm no longer the rambunctious teenager that I once was. I'm not that guy anymore. I've gone through all kinds of massive transitions and life stages. I've gotten married to my first wife. I've had children. I don't mean to say it like that. I've become a husband. We've had our first children. That's what I meant to say. My first and only wife. She's my onlyest wife. We've had children and moved countries and transitioned. This is going to be fun today. I can feel it. Transitioned careers and stepped into ministry, and all kinds of transition has taken place in my own life. I realized that transition is something that continually takes place in all of our lives. That transition is one of the few things that is constant in our lives. That life is filled with transition that takes place. I've realized this to be true. The small things and the big things, life is filled with transition. The small things that we see on a regular basis, like every time that you open up social media, you are reminded of transition that takes place. Whatever social media platform it is that you use, you are reminded of transition and change. When you open your social media and you get notifications that updates have taken place and things have changed on your platform, and you used to be able to click here to post, but now you have to click up here to post. Change has taken place. You used to be able to search for your friends in this search bar, but now you no longer search in this search bar. Now you're communicating with some kind of artificial intelligence. The platforms continue to change. I don't know why the platforms continue to change, but we are confronted with change every time we open social media, and that's before we even see the posts that our friends are making. And when you see the posts that your friends are making, these are really just reminders of transition. I just changed jobs. I just started a new career. I just graduated from high school. I just found a new restaurant. When you're posting, you're really just communicating to people about transitions that are taking place. And you're like, I just learned this and now I need to communicate it. There was something that I didn't used to know that I now do know, transition has taken place. We are continually reminded about transitions that take place. Our life is filled with transition, from the small things to the big things. You know that this is true. Even the big things, even the big seasons of transition where things are changing, transition is changing. We see this is taking place. As you graduate from high school and as you move into college, transition is taking place. As you are graduating from school and you're moving into your career, as you find someone to marry and as you start having children, transition is taking place. As you buy your first home and you move out of your parents' home, transition is taking place. Transition and transition and transition as your children transition from being little children to being not so little children. As your children transition to being teenagers and now they're no longer teenagers, now they're moving out of the house and now your empty nesters transition. Your life is marked by all kinds of transition and it can be scary and it can be overwhelming because when transition takes place, it is outside of your comfort zone. Transition is the thing that we try and avoid in life because it takes us out of our comfort zone. It stretches us beyond what we are comfortable with. It is inevitable, but that doesn't mean that it is comfortable. And so we go through transition even when we try and avoid it. Transition is something that is painful even when it's good. Transition. The good news is that when I read the Bible, it is filled with all kinds of examples of how transition has taken place. Every book of the Bible is filled with transition. From the very beginning, we see how transition begins to take place. When God creates Adam and Eve and he leads them out of the garden, it is transition. When Moses comes along and he leads the Israelites out of Egypt, transition. When Abram comes along and he has to go into the land that God will show him, transition. Ruth and Naomi, transition. Everywhere that you look in the Bible, it is filled with transition. Transition, transition, transition. Can you guess what we're talking about today? Even in the ministry of Jesus, transition. Jesus wasn't still for very long. Jesus was continually transitioning and moving as he went about his ministry, as he proclaimed the gospel here, as he declared who he was here. He was continually moving. Transition. Jesus never stood still for too long. There was transition that was continually taking place. And part of what I love about the ministry of Jesus is that there were so many miracles that took place along the way. So often Jesus would set about in one direction and then a miracle would take place in this direction. I love it that as he would move in this direction, now a miracle would take place over here. And what that tells me is that often the greatest things in your life are going to happen along the way. What it tells me is that while you might have a 5-year plan, while you might have a schedule, while you might have a calendar, some of the greatest things that God is going to do in your life will not be found in your calendar. Some of the greatest things that God is going to do in your life will be found along the way. Jesus' ministry is constantly in transition. And as I was thinking about today's message, I was drawn to the scripture that we read about in Exodus chapter 14. That is our scripture for today, Exodus chapter 14. We're going to start reading this in verse 10. Exodus chapter 14, starting in verse 10, and it reads like this. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord. Verse 11, They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out of the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you, in Egypt, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. Wouldn't it have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert? Verse 13, Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance of the Lord that he will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. Come on. Verse 14, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me for? Tell the Israelites to move on. Verse 16, raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after him, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and his army, through the chariots and through his horsemen. Verse 18, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh and his chariots and horsemen. Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front, pay attention, in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming in between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side and light to the other side, so neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land, and the waters were divided. And verse 22, and the Israelites went through the sea. Come on, someone say they went through the sea. They went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and with a wall of water on their left. Israel has been held in captivity up until this point for the last 400 years. 400 years they have been held as slaves until Moses comes along. Moses has been gone for the last 40 years, and they have been held in slavery for 400 years. It didn't strike me until recently, it didn't strike me until I was reading this scripture recently, that this generation that was currently alive had never known freedom. This generation that was currently alive had never known autonomy. This generation that was currently alive, and not only this current generation, but their fathers and their mothers and their grandfathers and their grandmothers, these generations that had been alive had never known agency and their ability to make their own decisions, their ability to be free thinking, their ability to go on vacation, their ability to do whatever they wanted to do. They'd never chosen what they wanted to eat. They were always told exactly what they needed to do. It didn't strike me until recently that this generation had never been free. Those that were alive were born in captivity, and their fathers and grandfathers before them as well. And this begins to illustrate to us the difference between change and transition. Change and transition. We see this because the Israelites have changed into freedom, but they are still thinking like they are slaves. They have gone through the Exodus in their bodies, but their minds are still held captive. Change and transition. Change and transition are entirely different things. Change is external and transition is internal. Change is external. These are the external things that you experience, like traffic, like the weather, like global influences that take place in our life. These are external things. Transition is internal. Transition is the way that you feel about the change that just occurred. Transition is the psychological process that you go through when change occurs. So you've just received salvation, and you've just gotten baptized, that's the change, but you continue to choose to sin because you have not transitioned yourself just yet. So you've left the toxic relationship that you were in, but you continue to think about the person from that toxic relationship. You have changed out of the relationship, but you haven't transitioned out of the relationship just yet. Change and transition. Change is external. That's the easy thing. The change is the easy thing to deal with. The transition, that's the hard thing to deal with. Change and transition. These are entirely different things. And so we have an entire community of people that have changed but have not yet transitioned. And so now we have the Israelites who have changed. They have changed locations, but they haven't transitioned the way that they think. They haven't transitioned their mentality. They haven't transitioned their mindset just yet. Change, 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 and transition. This is what the Israelites are currently going through, and this is what we have to continually experience ourselves as well. And so you have changed when you receive Christ, but you continue making terrible choices. You've been attending this church for 5 years, but you haven't decided to get involved just yet. You haven't decided to get invested just yet. You've changed locations of what you do on a Sunday morning, but you haven't transitioned your heart just yet and get involved in the ministry of the church, getting active with your faith. You have changed, but you haven't transitioned. And so now you find yourself controlled by the paralysis in the middle. You have changed in some ways, but you haven't transitioned in other ways. You find yourself somewhere in the middle. The Israelites had left Egypt, but they haven't transitioned entirely into the promised land. The Israelites are now somewhere in the middle. The Israelites are now in the desert. The Israelites are now held captive again in the desert in the middle. And we have to be thinking about this when, as leaders, we are making changes, we are transitioning things, and as we're communicating things, change and transition. When you change anything as a leader, you have to think about the change that is taking place and the transition that's going to take place as well. These are entirely different things. Let me give you some examples that I've learned about. I was speaking with a pastor some years ago, and he had just been installed at his brand new church, and he was telling me that on one of the first Sundays, he noticed that there were tissue boxes that were down the front of the church that were available for people as they came down to the altar and had an experience with God and encountered the Holy Spirit. The tissue boxes were available to people so that they could take a tissue and they could take care of their emotions. And this pastor said, I don't like having the tissue boxes down the front, so I want to move these tissue boxes to somewhere else in the building so that they can be made available, but I just don't want them down on the front row anymore. And that change was not received well by his church. Many people came to this pastor and said to him, you don't want the Holy Spirit here at this church. I don't know what you're trying to do, because it seems like the Holy Spirit is not welcome at our church anymore now that you're here, because you don't want people to encounter the presence of God and you don't want people's emotions to be welcome here. The change is the tissue box. The transition is what the tissue box meant. Let me give you another example. This is something that happened here at our church. If you think back all those years ago to 2020 and COVID took place, my Lord, during that time, we made the decision to not pass our giving buckets anymore in the moment of giving, because there were not enough volunteers at the time to be able to pass the buckets down the row. Also, because there were many people that were attending church that didn't want to touch things that other people had been touching. And so we made the decision to change how we were giving. And don't you know that that decision was made without considering the transition that it was going to lead to for many people? Many of you told us It's like you don't have a value for generosity in our church. It's like you don't have a revelation of generosity in our church. And I was like, I just changed it to try and consider this and this and this, but we didn't consider the transition. Change is the thing that is changing. Transition is how we feel about the transition. It's how we accept about it. It's the emotions that are at play in the transition that is taking place. The change is external, and that's the easy part. The transition is the difficult part. The transition is the place that we get tested in. If you are being tested, it's because there is transition that is taking place in your life. If you are being tested, it's because God is working to determine, are you able to stand even when your world around you is shaking? Even when your world around you is spinning, are you able to stand? Even when things don't make any sense, are you able to stand? God is testing during the season of transition. Are you able to stand or will you not stand? Are you able to stand? I have found that while change is inevitable, transition is optional. Change is inevitable. Change is going to happen in your life. You know that change is going to happen in your life. But whether you grow or not during that change, that is up to you. Change is inevitable. Transition is optional. And I love what's going on in our scripture here in Exodus 14 as we read about what's going on with the Israelites as they have just left Egypt. In Exodus 14:14, we see Moses stand up in front of the people and say, "Be still. God is going to fight for you. Be still. All you have to do is be still, and God is going to bring deliverance to us." Because change has taken place, but transition has not taken place. We know this because the very next verse, God says to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me for? I didn't tell you to be still. Move forward." Moses is speaking like he's still in Egypt, where they just have to stand still and God will do all the work. But God never told them to be still once they left Egypt. God is now telling them to move forward, to move forward. And this is sometimes why we get into problems when we're praying for miracles, because we just think that we have to stand still and that God will work on our behalf, that God will bring victory to us. God never told you to stand still. Move forward, move forward, move forward. Sometimes the miracle that you're looking for is found as you begin to move forward, move forward, move forward. The change had occurred. They had left Egypt, but the transition hadn't occurred in their minds. They're still stuck in Egypt. And so now we have 600,000 Israelites that have come up to the Red Sea. 600,000 people that are faced with death in front of them and death approaching from behind them. 600,000 people. I'm guessing that not a one of them has ever swum a day in their life. 600,000 people that see a sea in front of them and now see Pharaoh and his armies approaching behind them. Death in front and death behind. I love what begins to happen here. Day begins to change into night. Transition. Calm begins to change into a storm as the wind begins to blow. Transition. Transition, transition, transition takes place. I love it. I love it because the wind begins to blow all night long, all night long. And I know that when you think of this story, you think of Moses just putting his staff out over the sea and that the sea begins to open up instantly. But my Bible doesn't say that it happens just like that. It says that the storm blew all night long, all night long. And that it took until the night transitioned until the morning that they saw that the storm that they were in was the very miracle that they had been looking for. As the night began to dawn, it was then that they saw that there was a walkway that they could enter into. It was then that they began to see salvation had presented itself. It was then. Transition and transition and transition. It tells me two things. Firstly, that God can do things instantly, but God doesn't always do things instantly. And I know that you're praying for a miracle to take place instantly, but God doesn't always work instantly. When God created the heavens and the earth, and when God created the earth to come out of the waters, he did it instantly. However, God didn't perform this miracle instantly. He could have caused the sea to open up underneath Moses' staff instantly, but he didn't do it like that. He caused the wind to blow all night long. It tells me that while you're praying for healing to take place instantly, it doesn't happen just like that. It tells me that while you're praying for your family to be saved instantly, it doesn't always happen like that. It means that God's ways are not our ways. Sometimes you pray for something to happen and it doesn't happen when you want it to happen. And it also tells me that maybe you don't need saving from the storm that you are in. Maybe the storm, that storm that you're in, is the very thing that is protecting you from the real enemy. Maybe the storm that you find yourself in is saving you from the thing that you didn't even think that you needed to be saved from. Maybe the storm that you find yourself in is a provision from God. And so maybe you don't need to be saved from the storm that you find yourself in. Maybe as you transition out of this storm, you'll begin to see that storm was sent by God. And so as you pray, God is not necessarily going to move in your time frame. I know that you want him to work today. I know that you want to see savings today, but God is not necessarily going to move in your life today in your own time. He's God all by himself. And I know that you're praying to be out of this storm that you find yourself in, but the test of the storm is not found in your ability to get out of it. The test of the storm is not even found in your ability to fight against it. The test of the storm is found in your ability to outlast it. I believe that when you outlast the storm, as the storm begins to settle around it, there you will see the provision of God. There you will see the goodness of God. There you will see the faithfulness of God. There you will see the faithfulness of God. I believe that as the storm begins to settle, it is only in hindsight sometimes that you can see that the storm that I was in was sent by God to protect me from the enemy. It tells me those two things. And what I've found in life is that the enemy loves to attack during transition because things are vulnerable in transition. I've found that the enemy loves to attack things in transition. The enemy loves to attack everything in transition. The enemy loves to attack your marriage in transition. As you enter into marriage, he's going to attack your marriage because it's in transition. As you're having children, he's going to attack your marriage because things are vulnerable in transition. I found that the most vulnerable that you are in a running race, in a relay race, is as you are handing the baton from one person to the next person. That is when you are at your most vulnerable. I've found that when you are transitioning through careers, that is when the enemy loves to attack. I've found that as ministries and churches are transitioning, this is when the enemy loves to attack the most. As they are getting started, as they are transitioning, because that is when they are most vulnerable. The enemy loves to attack in transition because that is when things are most vulnerable. As we speak with different security experts and consultants about how we can make sure that this community is the safest when we gather together just like this, part of what we hear about is that we are most vulnerable in transition. As we are moving around, as people are standing and people are sitting, and as people are moving around, that is when the enemy loves to attack. You are most vulnerable in transition. This is what we have learned. The enemy loves to attack in transition. And so this is what we have learned about transition. Three things that we can do to overcome. Three things that we need to be aware of. Three reasons why we sometimes fail in transition. The first one, because your timing is wrong. Your timing is wrong. Sometimes you miss your transition because your timing is wrong. How many know that every transition has a window? there is a window for healthy transition to take place. And sometimes you can arrive too early, and sometimes you can arrive too late. You can arrive too early because you're filled with anticipation. This is the story of when the Beatles first arrived in the United States. They arrived the first time, and it was a massive flop. It was a massive disappointment. Nobody knew who they were. They were not ready in the United States for the Beatles to arrive. And so the Beatles went back home disappointed and defeated and dejected because they had not viewed the window properly. And it wasn't until they came back a second time that the window was quite right. When they came back a second time, the United States was ready for Beatlemania, and the rest is history. Because every transition has a window that it can be most effective. You can also miss the window that God presents for you as well. How many people ever had a BlackBerry phone? How many people have a BlackBerry phone today? Not a one of y'all. BlackBerry missed their transition. BlackBerry were convinced that people wanted those individual little buttons to be pushed, that tangible pressing, the clicking of the button. And when smartphones came along, they said, ain't nobody gonna want that. It's all about the ability to push the button individually. And then when more and more people started getting smartphones, they doubled down on this and they said, okay, well, we'll give you a touch screen, but we're not gonna just give you a touch screen. We're gonna give you a touch screen with an individual little keyboard at the bottom so that the people that wanna keep pushing the button can keep pushing the button. And how many know that BlackBerry is gone now? They missed the window that was available for them. How many people ever used to, on Friday nights, go to Blockbuster Video? Anyone used to do that like 20 years ago? You would go to Blockbuster Video? How many people on this past Friday night went to Blockbuster Video? Not a one of y'all. Blockbuster missed their window. At their height, Blockbuster were making $800 million per year just in fees. Just in fees, like late fees. And the fee that they charge you for not rewinding the video, just in fees, Blockbuster was making almost $1 billion per year 20 years ago. And this company comes along and they have the opportunity to purchase this brand new company, and Blockbuster decides that this brand new company called Netflix or something like that wasn't worth the money to purchase because they didn't think that people just wanted to stay home and watch movies. They thought that people enjoyed the experience of going to the store on the Friday night, and that is why Blockbuster is where they is, and that's why Netflix is where they is. Because Blockbuster missed their transition. You can arrive too early for your transition, or you can arrive too late for your transition. And this is where we find the Israelites between the verses of 14 and 15. When Moses says, stand still and God will fight for you, God responds with, why are you crying out to me for? Move forward. If the Israelites had continued to stand still, the rest of the Bible would have looked really different. It's only because they transitioned that we have the Bible that we have today, that we have the history that we have today, because they saw the window and they moved through the window that God presented for them. There is a window for transition, and sometimes we mess up transition because we get the timing wrong. The second thing is that your focus is wrong. Your timing is wrong, or your focus is wrong. You do have the ability to focus on things that are good and to accept things that are good in your life without accepting the best that God has for you. You do have the ability to receive something that's good just because you want an answer today without waiting and accepting the best that God has for you. Because your focus is wrong, because your desire and your goal is just to receive an answer rather than to receive the best that God has for you. And we see this with Peter. when Peter steps out of the boat and onto the water, first he's able to walk on water when he's looking at Jesus, when his focus is on Jesus. But it doesn't take long before his focus comes off of Jesus and Peter begins to sink down into the lake because his focus has shifted from Jesus onto his circumstances. The reason that the Israelites were not able to go into the promised land in the way that they were meant to is because they shifted their focus off of God and onto the giants that were in the land. Why is it that you have not been able to accept and realize the fullness of what God has for you? Because your focus has shifted from God onto your circumstance. Because your focus has shifted from God onto the things that are going on in your life. Instead of focusing on God, you focus on your bills. Instead of focusing on God, you focus on your meetings. Instead of focusing on God, you focus on the situations that are around you. And that's why your blood pressure continues to elevate. That's why your stress continues to elevate. That's why your anxiety continues to elevate, because your focus has shifted from God onto your situation, from God onto your circumstance. You've shifted your focus. This is the second reason why we get transition wrong. First, timing is wrong. Second, your focus is wrong. And third, because what you're carrying is wrong. What you're carrying is wrong. Too many of us try and transition by carrying the thing from the past season into the new season. When a baby is getting ready to be born, that baby has to decide, do I stay or do I go? Is it time for me to stay or is it time for me to go? A baby cannot occupy two spaces at the same time. So it is with us. You cannot occupy two different spaces at the same time. You have to decide, am I going to continue carrying the things from my past, or am I going to put those things down and carry the things that God has for me in my future? Think of the woman. Think of the Samaritan woman at the well when she encounters Jesus. She comes to the well with a bucket. And then John makes the point to communicate to us that she puts the bucket down and she leaves the bucket there and she clings to Jesus as she moves forward. Think of the beggar at the beautiful gate when John and when Peter walk by. The beggar has the decision, do I decide to hold on to the cup that I'm begging with, or do I put the cup down and do I cling on to John and to Peter? You have to decide during moments of transition what you are willing to cling to, what you are wanting to cling to. What you cling to in moments of transition will change everything. It'll change everything in your life. And so how do we transition well? You get the timing right. You get your focus right. And you think to yourself, what do I need to lay down and what do I need to pick up? What do I need to carry in this season of transition? We do those three things, and then in addition to that, you are reminded of where God is during seasons of transition. You want me to tell you where God is during seasons of transition? One person wants to know where God is. I'm gonna tell you, nobody else gets to hear this point. Genesis 26, this is what it says. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you. I will be with you and will bless you. That's Genesis 26. I will be with you. Exodus chapter 3. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said what? I will be with you. Joshua chapter 1 verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and be courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will what? Be with you wherever you go. Isaiah 43, but now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will what? I will be with you. Matthew 28, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely what? I am with you always to the very end of the age. I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. This is the promise that God has for you in transition. I am with you. God promises to be with you in transition. God promises not to abandon you. God promises not to forsake you. God promises not to leave you. God says, I will be with you. I will be with you when it doesn't make any sense. I will be with you when you feel like you're alone. I will be with you. I'll be with you when everybody else abandons you. I will be with you. This is the promise of our God. This is the promise of our Savior, that He will be with you even when transition is hard. Even when change is taking place, God promises to be with us. And as I was praying for our church the other day, I kept on hearing the phrase growing pains. Growing pains. I started thinking about how this is an accurate phrase for our church in this season. Growing pains. As our church continues to grow, we're going through growing pains. Many of you will remember the growing pains that you experienced in your body as you were teenagers becoming adults. You go through all kinds of growing pains. But I heard this phrase, growing pains, for our church in this season. Growing pains are the pains that we are experiencing when we think of our children's ministry, because we have to move rooms as our children's ministry continues to grow. These are good things, good changes that are taking place, but it causes some friction and some tension. Growing pains. Growing pains are what we experience in our church because our church is continuing to grow, but our volunteer crew is not growing at the speed that our church continues to grow. And I love our Cornerstone crew. I love our crew. I love the way that our crew continues to step up. I love the way that our crew continues to be available. I love that our crew continues to go above and beyond. But you go above and beyond as a member of the crew, not just because you have a spirit of excellence. You go above and beyond because you have to, because other people have not stepped up into their position. And we, as a church family, need to do better about that. If you volunteer on a regular basis, I want to say thank you for carrying your weight, for carrying your share. I want to say thank you for your yes. I want to say thank you for making sure that our children are being raised right. And this space is a place where beauty takes place and where transformation takes place and people can be greeted on a regular basis. I want to say thank you for continuing to show up and make sure that this message, the message of the gospel, can be broadcast everywhere. I want to say thank you. But if you haven't yet decided to volunteer, I want you to know that it's felt. I want you to know that other people are carrying your share. And you have an opportunity to do something about that today. You have an opportunity to give God your yes today, to say, you know what? I want to be available to disciple other people. I want to be available to show up and greet people. I want to be available to go into the prison ministry. I want to be available to lead people. I want to be available today. I want to give God my yes today. This is why we're experiencing growing pains. We're experiencing growing pains on every single row of this church. Because you look down your row and you will see people that have been walking with God, and you will be seeing people that have been attending this church for 20 years, and you'll see people that have been attending this church for 20 days. It's beautiful, but it means that we have growing pains. That's why we need you to say yes and to be available and to be leading people into a resilient faith. Growing pains, growing pains, growing pains. Transition, transition, transition. I believe that God is getting ready to transition this church into something incredible. I believe that God is getting ready to do something outstanding in this church. I believe that God is getting ready to do something awesome in this church, something amazing in this church. And I believe that we all get to enjoy what that is. But I was drawn to this scripture as I started hearing the phrase growing pains. I believe that before we can grow into what God has for us, because if you look around you, this is not all there's ever going to be. I believe that as we continue to grow into the community and the gathering and the family that God has for us, that first we must do something. And I saw this as I was drawn to the scripture of Joshua. I couldn't get out of Joshua chapter 3, and then I couldn't get past Joshua chapter 3 verse 5, and this is what it says: consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. I believe that God is getting ready to do something amazing in our family. I believe that God is getting ready to do something awesome in our family, but first we must consecrate ourselves. And if you haven't been here for long, then you might not know what this word consecrate means. Consecrate just means to be made holy. I believe that in order for God to do what God wants to do with this community, first we must consecrate ourselves. And when I was telling Meredith this the other day, she said, what does that mean? Does that mean that you're calling the church to a fast? Are we getting ready to go on a 21-day time of prayer and fasting? No. But what I do think is that it is a time for you to evaluate what is in your own heart and for you to decide within yourself to allow the Holy Spirit to communicate to you. What areas are you allowing in your own life that are not holy? What areas within your own life do you just accept for the way that they are? What areas in your life do you need to transition out of? Maybe it's your thinking, maybe it's your actions, maybe it's your behavior. What is it that you need to transition out of to consecrate yourself, to make yourself holy? Because I believe that as we begin to make ourselves holy, God is getting ready to do incredible things and awesome things and amazing things in our church family, and I'm excited about it. First we consecrate ourselves. First we decide that we want to be holy within ourselves, that I'm not going to allow myself to continue the way that I was, that I'm getting ready to be the fullness of who God has created me to be. And if you're excited about that, if you want that, would you stand to your feet and would you join me today in saying that I want to be a part of something incredible? I want to see the awesome things, the amazing things that God can do in our church family. There are two prayers that I want to pray right now. And you can receive either of these or both of these or none of these. The first prayer is for those that have not fully transitioned into being the person that God has called for you to be. Maybe you left the addiction, but you didn't fully become the person that God has created for you to be. And so now you find yourself trapped somewhere in the middle. You're not who you were, but you're not who you're gonna be just yet. You've allowed yourself to just stay somewhere in the middle, paralyzed somewhere in the middle. I wish that I knew all the details of your life. I wish that I knew all the details of your transition. I don't. But you do. And God does. And so this first prayer is for those that are getting ready to make the complete transition out of what you once were and into what God has for you to be. Come on, let's pray. God, I'm thankful that you are a very present God in helps of trouble, in time of trouble. God, I'm thankful that you are present. God, I'm thankful that as we change, that you don't leave us, that you don't abandon us, that you don't forsake us. God, I'm thankful that you are always present, that you are the God that is with us at all times. And so God, today, We choose to put down the things from our past season so that we can pick up the things from this next season. God, today we choose to put our focus again on you, and we repent of the times that we have allowed our focus to come off of you. Today, our focus is realigned on you, God. Our focus and our attention is on you and what you are doing. We're deciding today to focus on what you are doing instead of complaining about what you're not doing today, God. Our focus is on you, God. Give us the knowledge of when we should transition. Give us the knowledge of how to transition, and give us the strength to do it, God. Give us the strength to do it. And we're thankful that at every stage, at every moment, at every part of the journey, that you're not going to leave us. And that, God, when we look back at who we were at this time next year, that we'll barely even recognize who it was that was standing in this room today. I'm thankful for the transition that is taking place today in the lives of your people. And everybody said, amen? Amen. Amen. That's the first one. The second one is for those that need to be consecrated today. For those that need to get right with Christ. For those that need to decide that you're not just going to continue to allow that part of your life that you know that is not holy, that you continue to just hang on to, that you're deciding fully and entirely and for good that you're putting that thing down. And you're leaving it alone in your past so that you can pick up the thing that God has for you in your future. This is for you today, so that God can lead us into being the people that He has for us to be. If this is you, I want you to do something bold, and I want you to raise your hand. If you say today, I want to be holy today. I want to be holy today so that I can experience and encounter the presence of what God has for me, the fullness of what God has for me. Would you just raise your hand here in this space if you just say, I want to be holy today. I want to be holy today. God, make us holy today. God, make me holy today. Reveal in me the areas in me that I need to lay down. God, reveal in me the areas that I need to put aside. Reveal them in me today, God. I choose today to put those things down, to let those things die in my own life, for those things to remain in the past so that I can experience the fullness of what you have for me, God. I choose to be holy today. I choose to be holy because you are holy. And God, everything that you are, I want that to be present in my own life. And God, everything that is in existence in heaven, I want that to be in existence in earth. God, I want everything that you have for me. God, I want everything that you have for me in my own life, in my own family, in everyone that's connected to me. God, I want my church to be holy. God, I want my entire faith community to be holy so that we can experience the fullness of what you have for us, God. And we're ready for it. And we're expecting for it. And we're believing that tomorrow we get to step into the incredible, awesome, amazing things that you have for us today. And if you are also filled with expectation, would you just lift a sound unto God today saying that yes, we're ready for it. Yes, we're ready for it. Yes, we're ready for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.